Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the third week of our series called Waiting on Christmas, and this week Pastor Josh explains how we can have the peace of God. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Rock Church, you guys good today? Good. Great to see you guys, and want to welcome you here. As Dylan said, my name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors, and excited. If you're a guest with us, thanks for coming. Man, I know he just gave a long announcement, but I got to reiterate it, all right? Make sure you're here next week, but if you call the Rock home, come to the 12 o'clock service, okay? Don't skip out. Don't say, I'm going to give up my seat and just not come. Come, but come to the 12 o'clock and bring somebody with you, okay? Because we know next weekend it's going to be a packed house. It'll be awesome. And then make sure you're here on Christmas Eve because we're going to wrap up this whole series that we've been doing called Waiting on Christmas, all right? And if you've been here, we've been kind of going through what's called the Advent Ring, and we've been talking about different things that come with Christmas. Like week one, we really talked about joy, and we talked about how joy comes with Christmas. And week two, last week, we really talked about love and about how you find love at Christmas. Today, as Kaylock mentioned earlier, we want to talk about this concept of peace. And when you think about peace, maybe this is the easiest way for me to say it, is just to ask a question about peace. How many of you believe this is the most peaceful time of the year? Oh, I don't get a lot of hands raising, right? Like, some of you are there, and some of you want it so much. You're like, I just want peace during Christmas. And you have this romanticized idea that peace is coming. You had this vision of sitting in front of the Christmas tree with your kids playing board games, and everybody got along, right? Like, that's an image. Or some of you had this image and you've lived your best life so far because through Christmas you thought, I'm just going to snuggle up on the couch every night with my blanket, my cup of hot cocoa, and I'm going to watch the Hallmark Channel, right? Like, you're just like, there it is. I get to watch Candace again. You know what I mean? You're watching Dollywood Christmas, all those things. And you're like, it's the most peaceful time of the year. And you just go, yes, it's here. And then there's everybody else that you'd go, man, it ain't peaceful. You been to a store? Or it ain't peaceful. Have you been to my family get together? Like it was WWE, you know? You're like, it ain't peaceful. I went to my office party this week and Johnny got drunk and had the lampshade on his head and it wasn't peaceful. I was using that reference to you all, not my office party, okay? Just to make sure, all right? But you know what I'm saying? It's like we think it's going to be the most peaceful, but if we're just honest, all right? And that's what I'm asking us to do today. I'm really challenging us to be honest and have a true conversation and really look at this as like, can you find peace right now? Because I know there's many of you that in a crowd this big, I know this is real, that some of you came in today saying, man, I need peace. Because this week I was called into my boss's office for the final time. Man, I need peace because I looked at my checking account and there's not enough there to take care of Christmas for my kids. That I'm finding, I need some kind of peace because I studied all week for my finals and then I bombed the most important one. That I need some peace right now because I'm looking at my house and things are in disorder. That I need peace right now because the person I thought I was going to spend Christmas with, well, that relationship has ended. Or my spouse has left. Or that family member is no longer with us. And you're going into the Christmas season and there's everything but peace in your life. There's problems, there's pain, there's turmoil. That you wanted peace, so you got you thought everything was good on your health checkup, but then all of a sudden the doctor called and said, we've actually got some bad news. All right? And those are real things that I know in a crowd this big, there are many of you who are here today and you're struggling. You're struggling because there's real problems, there's real pain, there's real family situation, there's real financial situations, there's real issues going on with your kids, there's real issues going on with your parents, and you're just like, yeah, we say it's the most peaceful time of the year. We say all Christmas long, peace on earth and goodwill to men. We say that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but if you're honest, you might say it seems more like, rather than Jesus being the Prince of Peace, that he's the prince of my problems right now. That you think that in reality, you just got all kinds of problems and pain going on in your life. And you're like, I would love to find the Prince of Peace. Some of you even wonder, where in the world did this Prince of Peace idea of Jesus even come from? And it's from a prophecy that was made about Jesus back in what's called the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. It's a verse that all across the world, churches are using this weekend and next weekend. And they're talking about this Prince of Peace. It says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. All right? And those are some great things said about Jesus there. Like if you look at it, that he'll be a wonderful counselor. Like, yeah, I'd love to have that. That sounds great. That he's a mighty God. I'd love to have a mighty God in my life. He's an everlasting Father. I'd love to have a Father that is for real and that lasts forever. And then this idea of the Prince of Peace. And you go, yeah, I would love to have that peace in my life, but it just doesn't seem like it's really there. And then if you go on and read verse 7, which we hardly ever read in churches, verse 7 says it this way, his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all of eternity. Right? And a lot of churches, we don't want to read this verse because it says he will rule with fairness and justice. And I know many of you, if you're honest, you would say, it sure doesn't seem like Jesus is fair all the time. It sure doesn't seem like Jesus is just all the time. That if he is fair, then why do I have this problem in my life? If he is just, why is this issue going on? Right? And I know that I'm bringing up some tough things that are reality on many of your minds. Right? Because what you want to say is, I want this peace that comes. I want this fairness and I want this justice, all right? That I really want this Prince of Peace. We'll even take it to the point where we'll ask, is it even possible to have peace? And I would say this, it's possible, but understand that peace doesn't mean that it's going to be absent of pain and problems. That you can have peace, but you're still going to have pain and you're still going to have problems. And I know, and I would say this as well, but that's not the kind of peace that I want. The kind of peace that I want is that nativity scene type peace, right? How many of y'all have ever seen a nativity scene? Right? Everybody? Go ahead. You know, if we're in America, pretty much means that almost everybody has seen a nativity. And here's what I know. We all want that picture. We're like, that's what I want my life to be. I want that. Because if you've ever really looked at the nativity, it's everything a person could want in life. I don't know if you've noticed it. For instance, you have the Star of Bethlehem, which means you constantly have light in your house. The electric bill is always paid, all right? You always have light. You get these angels hanging out on the corners, which means they're your security system. So you've got your house protected at all times against burglars, against people. You've got power. You've got the angels. And then you got these sheep hanging out over here so they can provide clothing. You got the cow, so you got milk. You got food if you need food. From him. You got the camel over here, gives you transportation. Like you got everything you could possibly want in life. The power bill is paid, the security system is on, clothes are there, milk is in the fridge, I got transportation, and if all that fails, I got these three rich dudes that'll bring me gifts anytime I need it. Yeah, I want that too. But that's not real. That's the Hallmark Channel. It's just not real. That's not the story, all right? Yeah, Mary and Joseph, they could have peace, but it didn't look like this. See, if you look at Mary's story, you know, she was a 14, 15-year-old girl. And then all of a sudden, an angel shows up, which is weird enough in itself. And then the angel says, oh, by the way, you're pregnant. And she's like, whoa, whoa, no, 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 I'm a virgin, can't be. And he's like, no, 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 you are pregnant, all right? And then they have a conversation. And you think after the conversation with the angel, everything be like, okay, I get it, it's all going to be good. No, because now she understands she has to go talk to her man. She has to go talk to her fiancé, all right? Which back then, if you were engaged, it was legally binding. So she's going to have to go tell the man that she's legally bound to, that she's pregnant with somebody else's baby, all right? And we all know that's not an easy conversation. And then Joseph, when he hears it, he's like, yep, this isn't going to be good. So he decides to split. He's like, I'm divorcing her. And then an angel shows up and talks to him. And when the angel shows up and talks to him, then eventually he's like, okay. And you think that's good, but no, now they've got to go and tell their parents that she's pregnant. They're not going to get it. And then on top of that, make sure you catch this. On top of that, he gets a notification from the government that his tax bill is due on January 15th, and he's got to go down to Bethlehem to pay it. Been there? Got that tax bill you weren't expecting? Been there? That's really what was going on. Like, we just read it like that it was a census being put on, so they had to go to Bethlehem to register. No, it meant this, that they had to go to Bethlehem, and they had to register with the Roman government so they could pay their taxes. So while they're now pregnant, and now they're having to leave their family because of this issue of this pregnancy, then they get a notice from the government that they owe a lot more money. You see the problem? So then they leave and they head down there, and think about it, based off tradition, that Joseph puts her on a donkey and bounces her way all the way down to Bethlehem. No wonder Jesus came when they got to Bethlehem, right? That's not this. Yet that's the fairy tale we believe, that we think life is just always peaceful. No, life is filled with problems. Life is filled with pain. Jesus said you're going to have pain, you're going to have problems, but you can find peace. That's what he actually said when he is on earth. It's recorded in what we call the book of John. It's a biography that John wrote about Jesus. And these were Jesus' very own words. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And then look what he says. You will have suffering in this world. He basically makes a promise to the disciples. He says, hey, I want to give you another promise. You've liked my promises so far, that I'm a mighty God, that I'm an everlasting Father, that I'm the Prince of Peace. Those are all good promises, that you're going to rise from that. All those great promises. Let me give you one more promise. You're going to suffer a lot of tragedy in life. Now, we love to claim the promises of God, but that's not one that any of us goes, oh, let me claim that promise. Right? Let's be honest. Jesus, though, as he's telling us the truth, he's saying, while you're on this earth, problems are going to come up. The refrigerator's going to die. The washing machine's going to go out. The car's going to get a flat. The doctor's going to call. That there's going to be problems at school. It's just going to happen. It's reality. Jesus promised it. But he says this, be courageous. I have conquered the world. He's saying in the midst of your problems and your pain, you can find peace. And I know personally, that's what I want. Because I realize problems and pain are going to come in my life. But how can I have peace? Well, let me tell you, the way that I can have peace, the way that you can have peace, is that we got to make peace with God. That it starts with this. If you want to find peace in the midst of your problems, then you got to start by making peace with God. Because reality is that each and every one of us, everybody in this room, everybody at C3 Coffee Bar, everybody watching online, that we all at some point in our life have been separated from God, that we are at war with God, that we do not have peace with God, right? That we make mistakes and that those mistakes separate us. and put us in conflict, put us in war with God, all right? And we might go, well, why is there conflict? Why is there war? Let me just make it as simple as I possibly can, all right? I'm going to speak in this gen language right now. You want to know why we're separated from God? Do you want to know why we are at war with God? Do you want to know why we have conflict with God, that each and every one of us at some point in our life? Here's why. We suck. That's it. That's all I got. And I know some of you are like, can he say that? Yes, because we do. Okay? It's just plain and simple. You want 2019 language? We suck. You want biblical language? We sin. It's the same thing, that we constantly make mistakes, that we're constantly doing the things that we don't want to do, and we're not doing the things that we want to do, that we've sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. All right, again, here's another way to say it. You want to know what we are? We are like the Dallas Cowboys. It's that simple. We're like the Dallas Cowboys. We suck, okay? Now, here's reality. The Dallas Cowboys, they have more Pro Bowlers on their roster than any other team, yet they continue to pursue suck. That's what they do. They do. And that's us. Here's what I mean. That God has given us the ability, not because we are good, but because He is good, but we can do great things. But rather than do the things of God, we're constantly chasing sin. We're constantly moving in the wrong direction. We are like the Dallas Cowboys in that way, and we're going the wrong direction. But here's the crazy thing, all right? Here's the crazy thing, and some of you ain't going like this either. I believe in a spiritual way that God is the biggest Dallas Cowboys fan on the face of the earth. And you're like, what? Time out, preacher. He pursues those who suck. How many of you are a Dallas Cowboys fan? All right? Listen, you will be a fan for life. You love your Cowboys. Like, you know they're terrible right now, but you'll never give up on them. A Dallas Cowboys fan is a fan for life. They're like, I'm in. I don't care how bad they've been. I know we can do better. We'll figure it out. I know you guys right now, you're on this whole thing of let's make Trump our CEO so he can make the Cowboys great again. But anyway, that wasn't planned. That's not in the notes, but that's funny. Anyway. But here's what I mean. Like, a Dallas Cowboys fan will never give up on their team. Let's speak truth. God will never give up on you. He will never give up on you. No matter how far we run away, no matter how often we sin, no matter how often we get it wrong, that He'll never give up on you. Yes, there is separation. Yes, we are at war. Yes, we're in conflict. Because He says, you can do better. So we got to make peace with God. And here's the great thing about God, is God didn't say, like every other religion in the world, God didn't say, you need to make peace with me, get your life figured out, do all these things right, pray this many ways, in this many locations, in this posture, and then you can be right with me. God said, I want to make peace with you, so I'm coming to your level. I'm coming to the earth because I want to make peace with you. That separates Christianity from every other faith system in the world. Is God said, I want to make peace with you, so I'll come to the earth. And then He lived on this earth to show us what it's like to be in a peaceful relationship with the Father. And then He predicted it. He said, I'm going to get arrested for this. I'm going to suffer just like everybody else. I'm going to suffer. But my suffering is I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, and then I'm going to rise from the dead 3 days later. That's what He said. And then He pulled it off. He predicted His own death, burial, and resurrection, and then pulled it off. And that's what secondly makes Christianity different from every other faith system. Every other faith system says you got to get right with God, you want peace with God, come to God. God says you want to make peace with me, I'll come to you. And then He rose from the dead so that we could have life. Because he wants to make peace with us. That's what Romans says. In the Romans, it's a book in the Bible. It says this: therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of what Jesus has done for us. Do you get it? That for us to have peace with God, a peace of God came to this earth in the form of Jesus. A peace of God, all right? Now, I know for you theologians, just to make sure you hear me say it, he was fully God, but he's a peace of God coming to this earth. And he came to this earth so that we could have peace. And that's what Luke 2:14 says. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those who with whom God is pleased. See, when Jesus came to this earth and did what he did, it brought conflict. Because now we have to recognize, what are we going to do with this guy named Jesus? But when we respond to him, then we have peace. When we respond to him, then we can have peace. Because God is pleased. When we respond to Jesus and give him our life, he is pleased with us, all right? But it doesn't just stop there, all right? That would be great news if it was just that. But it's a whole nother level. Because if you want peace with God, you have to have peace with God, okay? If you want to find peace in the midst of your problems, you have to have peace with God. But it doesn't stop there. If you want to find peace in the midst of your problems and your pain, then make peace with God so that you can have the peace of God. This is going to be a tongue twister here. But if you want to find peace in the midst of your problems and your pain, you can do so by making peace with God. And when you make peace with God, then you can get the peace of God by allowing a peace of God to live inside of you. Do you see that? See, that's what Mary and Joseph understood. They were in conflict. They're like, how can this be? And the angel said, because God's coming to you and he's going to be with you. And because God was with them, they had the peace of God. Oh, the disciples, they forgot that. They were in a boat one day, and there was a storm all around them, and Jesus was asleep up in the bow, all right? And they're freaking out, and they don't know what to do, so one of them decides to go up and wake up Jesus from his nap, all right? Now, I'll say this. It takes a lot of guts to wake Jesus up from a nap. You know what I mean? Like, I can imagine this guy going up, Jesus, I'm not sorry. I hate to wake you up, but you got to wake up. You got to wake up. You got to wake up. Why? Why are you waking me up? Because we're going to die. Yeah, you're about to. The storm, Jesus, the storm. Peace, be still. And everything was calm. See, the disciples forgot who they were with. They forgot that they had a peace of God with them that would give them the peace of God. You see that? If you remember you have a peace of God with you, then you can have a peace of God. And I know you might be thinking, well, that was great for them because they had Jesus. But we have to remember, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, if you have peace with God, then he puts a piece of himself inside of you so that you can have the peace of God. You see that? See, that's what Jesus said in John 14. He said this. He said, peace I leave with you, meaning the Holy Spirit. My peace, my spirit, I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, because the world can't give that. The world can't give you the Holy Spirit. The world can't give you the presence of God. Only God can give you the presence of God. And that's what he does when we surrender our lives to him. So he says, don't let your heart be troubled or be fearful. He's saying, you don't have to be troubled. You don't have to live in fear any longer. As long as you remember that you have a piece of me living inside of you. And if you have a piece of me in you, then you can have my peace. And now we go all the way back to this issue of your problems and your pain. Because they're not going away. They're real. In this life, you will have troubles. But if we'll recognize that we can have the peace of God by having a peace of God inside of us, then we can handle those problems. We can handle those pain, and we can have peace in the midst of them. But I think our problem is many times is we try to tackle our problems on our own. That we look at the marriage situation and we say, well, I got to figure this out. We look at the financial situation like, well, I got to fix this. We look at the office situation, like I gotta fix this. We look at our kids and we're like, well, I gotta do this, all right? When was the last time that you looked at your marriage, you looked at your kids, you looked at your parents, you looked at your job, and you said, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I can't fix this problem. I need your help, Jesus. And the only way I'm gonna be able to make it through this problem is if I quit trying to do the heavy lifting and I let you do it for me. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. The Holy Spirit is like the master coach in the weight room. You know what I mean? Like, he's that coach in the weight room that spurs you on. He's that coach in the weight room that is saying, I know you don't think you can lift this bar. In reality, you can't. But let me help you. And the Holy Spirit's the one that can help. You can't handle your problems on your own. You can't handle your pain on your own. But if you'll rely on the Holy Spirit and give him your pain and give him your problems, then you can have the peace of God because of the peace of God that lives inside of you. So as we move into a time of response, let's just deal with that. Let's just deal with it. And let's just remember that peace has a name. And his name is Jesus. And he is waiting on you right now. And he wants to give you peace in the midst of your problems by you making peace with him so that you can have the peace of God in your life. And I know many of you in here that you've surrendered to Jesus. You've responded to him. And here's what that means. It means that you have a peace of God living inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit. And he wants to be active in your life. And maybe you've forgotten that. Maybe as you've been going through whatever has happened this week or this year, you've forgotten about the peace of God that can bring you the peace of God. Now, I'm going to challenge you this morning to recognize it and to spend time with him. Maybe you want to do that by taking communion. There's communion up here on the front. And I want you to know that you can come up and you can take communion and you can spend some time with Jesus that way. And ask him, just say, Holy Spirit, I need you to take this problem. I need you to take this pain because I can't do it on my own. Maybe there's some of you here that you're just like, you got a real issue and you're just like, I need to pray about this. I want to give it to the Holy Spirit, but I just feel like I need more help with this. I want you to know that our prayer counselors are going to be up front this morning. Catherine, I know, is sitting on this side, and she's going to be standing right there in that corner. And there's going to be some other prayer counselors over there just ready to receive you, ready to pray with you. I'm going to be standing on this side with some of our prayer counselors over here. And I want you to come up front, and I want you just to be prayed over this morning. Because not that my prayer, Catherine, or any of our prayer counselors' prayer is more valid than yours, but there is strength when we come together and we ask the Holy Spirit to move in your life. And we recognize that I'm giving this problem, I'm giving this pain to the Holy Spirit who lives in you and gladly takes it. But I also know this. There's some of you here who do not have peace with God this morning. That you want the peace of God, but you can't have the peace of God because you don't have the peace of God in you. You don't have a peace of God in you. And you don't have a peace of God in you because you haven't made peace with God. And you can't have a peace of God in you without making peace with God. So if you don't make peace with God, then you can't have the peace of God. And I want you to have the peace of God, so that means you need to get a peace of God in you, and you do that through the peace with God. And that happens when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And today is the day. In the scripture, it talks about a time that some people recognized they were in conflict with God. They didn't have peace with God. And they asked Peter, who was a follower of Jesus. They said, what must we do? Like, what do we do? We want this. We want this. What do we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right now, I'm going to challenge you. If you want peace with God, to surrender your life to Christ. I'm going to ask you to surrender your life to Christ, one, by repenting, meaning telling God you're sorry and you want him into your life, but then two, taking that step of baptism. That my prayer right now is between now and about the next 10 days, my prayer is that we see 22 people take the step of baptism. I'm just praying that up, praying it. And maybe you're the one of those 22. Maybe God will do far more than I can ever ask and imagine, and we'll blow through that number 22. But that's where I'm starting my prayer. And I'm going to be standing right over here. We have a baptism team ready. We have shorts, we have shirts, we have towels, we have everything you need. Maybe you didn't come today expecting to get baptized. But maybe that's exactly what you need to do because you know you need peace with God. I want you to do me a favor. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to respond. Jesus, we come before you. And I thank you for coming to this earth so that we could have peace. And Jesus, I pray in this moment that we will find peace with you, and we will have the peace of you surrounding us. Help us to respond to what we've discovered today. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like information on how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.